שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, ערב ראש חודש כיסלב, פרשס תולדוס, תשעין וב, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 12 November 2015, webcasting from Israel, which has only itself to blame. No, not as Peter Baynard believes, this enemy of the Jews of Jewish extraction, who thinks the Muslims here stab us and run us over because of our mistreatment of them. I mean, in the matter of today's top story, well, it was the EU, and that we have only ourselves to blame. The EU finally did what it started to do 3 years ago. It's decided to label the produce and products of the Jews in Judea and Samaria as more or less spiritually polluted, for the land on which they were made was stolen from its legitimate ancient owners, the legendary Palestinians. This label, aggression of European anti-Jews, wants to see on commodities created in Judea and Samaria, reading, quote, product from the West Bank, parentheses, Israeli settlement, close quote. If the object for sale, though, was produced by the Muslims, it should say West Bank, parentheses, product of Palestine, close parentheses. Or the label can say product from West Bank, parentheses, Palestinian product. And for the first time, it dawns on yours truly, who is ultimately to blame for this? And it's these Israelis in the ruling class who use the term West Bank, as the Jerusalem Post always does. Surely it's the newspaper, along with the Haaretz English edition, that foreign diplomats here read, and in capitals all across the world? Imagine an Israel in which, uniformly, all Israelis refer to these hills as Judea and Samaria. Imagine an Israel, a Jewish people that finally comes home from exile. The Europeans use West Bank because Israel's ruling class allows them to. It's their naming scheme. Judea and Samaria, for the Europeans, are as dead as Londinium, the Latin name for London. No more Romans in charge there, so no more Londinium. Now it's just London. New Amsterdam with the Dutch in 1624 was handed over to another people, the English, who renamed it New York. And what Israel has permitted the Europeans to do is erase Judea and Samaria as the living names of these territories. And the reason the ruling class in Israel has done this is that its ideal Zionist state is not a religious state. It's just like those secular states in the democratic West. Religion has nothing to do with it. Israel's ruling class has never waved the flag of the Jewish religion as a symbol of the Jewish people's right to rule in Judea and Samaria, because all the famous places in it have a religious significance. I envy the historians of the future who take note and comment on the behavior of the Prime Minister of Israel in the year 2000, Ehud Barak, the most decorated soldier in the state of the Jews' history, who looked the other way as the Arabs, using dump trucks and other heavy equipment, dug up and carted off the Temple Mount thousands of tons of dirt containing who knows how many artifacts, attesting to the Jewish presence there over thousands of years. Ehud Barak has publicly prided himself on being the son of atheists. He was also the prime minister that year when he let an Israeli soldier die at the tomb of Joseph rather than rescue him and defend that most amazing tomb of a man whose biography we know, he who lived over 3,000 years ago and has been remembered by us ever since. There is no other nation on earth that knows the graves of its ancestors going back 3,000 years. No nation on earth anywhere is so old as that. So the top story today in Israel was outrage across the board at the EU for finally finalizing this new regulation to mark off Jewish products, as surely as a yellow patch in Germany last century was put upon Jews, and a yellow patch last millennium. In the Middle Ages, the records show, Jews in Tunisia and I think also Iraq had to wear a yellow cloth on the backs of their necks to identify them in the street as infidels who refused to recognize Muhammad for the final prophet that he was. The upside of this brouhaha was the foreign ministry expressing its sense of insult By canceling some, if not all, of the scheduled meetings with the EU over various issues, President Rivlin has canceled a trip to Belgium in protest. Now, the upside, though, was the unanimity all across Israel at the blatant unfairness and, I say, miracle of miracles for the first time in memory, a unanimous view that behind it all was anti-Semitism. The Foreign Office here said that there are over 200 similar land disputes on the planet, but the EU does not see them. Israel alone is the target of this special regulation. But as I say, it has its good side, because I can never remember so many of the movers and shakers here, from Yuval Steinitz on the right to Yair Lapid on the left, using the same word, anti-Semitism, to describe what has happened. The Prime Minister said the EU should be ashamed of itself. We are not prepared to accept the fact that Europe is labeling the side that is being attacked by terrorism. The Israeli economy is strong and will withstand this, he said. Those who will be hurt will be those Palestinians who work in Israeli factories, close quote. Others also took note of the ugly coincidence of passing this regulation in Brussels in the same days these barbarians are murdering us with knives and automobiles. What interested yours truly is this new fashion in anti-Jewism, in which post-Holocaust the anti-Jew insists he's not being anti-Semitic. The EU operative here, the ambassador so-called, is Lars Faborg Andersen from Denmark, who insists that the regulation is only a technical matter. It's not a boycott, he said, just consumer information, or words to that effect. What is new in our generation is the denial by anti-Jews like him of their anti-Jewism. Who does he think he's kidding? Only a technical matter. But as I say, at the end of the day, Israel has itself to blame. Listen to the words of the temple denier and liar about 50 dead in Jenin in 2002, Saeb Arafat, who said that the labeling was, quote, a significant move toward a total boycott of Israeli settlements, which are built illegally on occupied Palestinian lands. We believe that more actions are necessary to hold Israel accountable for the crimes it continues to commit against the land and people of Palestine, close quote. What he's doing here, and what he always does, just about every time he opens his mouth, is to assert, to claim, to proclaim, declaim that the land in question is Palestinian land, and by implication the Jews stole it. But how does Israel answer this chronic verbal behavior on his part and that of others? Israel declares it wants to share Palestine, but the Palestinians don't want to share it. When that is not the right answer, every declaration of ownership by the enemy must be met with a two-pronged defense and counterstrike. The claim must be dismissed, exposed as fraudulent, and the Jewish legal right to Judea and Samaria be vigorously asserted. On the contrary, as noted at the outset, every day that the Jerusalem Post writes of the West Bank and Palestinians, instead of Judea and Samaria, and Arabs and or Muslims, anything but Palestinians, it causes immense harm to the country. Here's what the EU issued yesterday, along with the new labeling regulation. Its formal position since 2012 is this, quote, the European Union, in line with international law, does not recognize Israel's sovereignty over the territories occupied by Israel since 1967 and does not consider them to be part of Israel's territory, irrespective of their legal status under domestic Israeli law, close quote. There are three statements here. The last, that the EU does not recognize Israeli law in Judea and Samaria, which they are entitled to. In this middle, they state that they do not recognize them to be Israel's territory. And in truth, neither does Israel. But as to its first assertion that international law does not recognize Israel's sovereignty over the territories, that's just a lie that Israel never rebuts, because it would mean waving the banner of Jewish rights. Samaria, which every Israeli government has, while every Israeli government has have lived inside the bubble fantasy that it can sell back some of the land, and in exchange the Arabs will finally make peace. We are the legal rulers, according to international law since 1967, and until the situation changes, we will remain the rulers here, legally. Israelis hold on to this fantasy because the alternative is too frightening, I think, for them. This is not a war over territory. It's a war over religion. And the ruling class here is just too non-religious to deal with it. Speaking before Netanyahu, rightfully said to the EU, shame on you for this double standard of treatment. But true to form, he did not claim and never claims Judea and Samaria as a right. He also caused a ruckus here by addressing the Jewish federations in the states in their General Assembly. And he said the government and Jewish agency in Israel will for the first time invest in the development of reform and conservative congregations. This not surprisingly, raised hackles in Israel among Haredi coalition members who threatened to bring down the government, or words to that effect. It's hard to know what Netanyahu was thinking. I cannot believe he has become an enthusiast of Reformed Judaism. He's too smart for that. He knows the facts. The demographic facts are that these non-Orthodox movements are drying up and dying off. I suspect that because he knows this, he speaks this way, in hopes of holding on to the support of those people as long as possible. After all, the bulk of American Jewish support for Israel has always been among the non-Orthodox. But now they're disappearing at warp speed. He may also feel that words are cheap and he need not follow through on what he said for months to come. Nonetheless, a Minister of Health, Yaakov Litzman of Torah Judaism, said the Prime Minister's remarks in favor of the reform insult us and clearly go against the coalition agreement. He said the reform and conservative tear apart the Jewish people and they must not be helped to hurt the Torah of Israel. We will do everything we can so that this commitment is not met. His fellow party member, M.K. Moshe Gafni, said Reform Jews stick a knife in the Torah of Israel. What Netanyahu said is very serious and requires clarification when he returns, close quote. Yes, unfortunately, Reform Judaism does stick a knife in the Torah of Israel for teaching the very same theory called the higher criticism, as it's called, the documentary hypothesis that I myself studied, according to which the Torah is not the handiwork of Moses, but was written by many hands over the generations and patched together centuries later. And in teaching this theory to its rabbis, the Reform teach the current anti-Semitic theory developed by the first anti-Semites in history, 19th century German academics, philologists, and whatnot, post-Christian theorists of religion, rather than believers in religion. In this behavior, Reform joins the precursors of 20th century Nazi theorists who went to war against Jews and their religion in favor of resurrecting the pre-Christian pagan pantheon in Germany that inspired the operas of Richard Wagner and Hitler loved them so much. Worse, and this claim I can attest to myself, what goes on in Reform temples is the reason why 80% of the children later go on to marry non-Jews and leave the Jewish people. A Reform Jew will speak of, quote, the rabbi who bar mitzvahed my son or daughter, when there is no such transitive verb to bar mitzvah. There's no rabbinic or clerical activity involved. Bar mitzvah means son of the commandment, meaning old enough to be responsible to carry them out. Boyhood is over, and that's a natural biological process, and now you must perform the mitzvot. And no ceremony or ritual or clerical participation is needed. It just means to come of age. Nothing need be done to become a bar mitzvah, not to be bar mitzvahed, versus the average Reform boy or girl who thinks there is some kind of ritual here after one is free to perform no mitzvot at all. It's an activity that is inherently very confused, and preparing for it is nothing but a pain in the tokus for the children because it is so empty of content and meaning. It turns Jewish religious activity into some kind of Confucian ancestor worship. You do it because your father did it, and your grandfather did it, and your great-grandfather did it. It's all boring to every one of us, but you got to do it. It is, in the final analysis, what was called in Shakespeare's day a dumb show, a pantomime, in which the outside observer, it seems there is a boy or girl reading from the Torah, but in truth, it's all phonetic and transliterated, and as for the contents of those words, and they might be written in Turkish, it's all gibberish. After which ridiculous ceremony, a massive party is attended. Very expensive, and if you can afford it, with go-go girls. I said the last time, it's amazing in a way, that Reform Jews who in their secular life can be intelligent, even above average, but when it comes to the religion, they are imbeciles. Many used to be, if no longer, concerned that their offspring would marry a non-Jew, but they never understood why that is. They can't put two and two together and connect the emptiness of the Jewish religion as a Reformed child experiences it and misunderstands it, and the later lack of any desire to marry a Jew to perpetuate this emptiness and lack of community, really. What religion? What community? Still, Bibi wants to hold on to those with at least some tenuous connection to the Jewish people as a way of maintaining political influence in the American electorate. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch, Leolam Vaed. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. And that, of course, was the soundtrack to Schindler's List. It's Psalm 137, the famous verse, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem." The Jewish Telegraph Agency has reported that on Monday, November 16th, on the Smithsonian TV channel, a new documentary will be shown based on recently discovered film interviews, done with Hitler's closest associates during his final days in his bunker. It seems that an American judge at the Nuremberg trials, one Michael Musano, conducted interviews with 22 men and women who shared the 18 rooms of that bunker with their Führer during the last 4 months of his Thousand-Year Reich that lasted a mere 12 years. Somehow these interviews were forgotten, lost in an archive that was found only 2 years ago in Pittsburgh. And what I found most illuminating in the news item in this JTA piece was information about Hitler's last will and testament that he wrote just before committing suicide. According to the item, quote, after 12 years in power, leaving a trail of mass graves and rubble-strewn cities, the dictator's foremost obsession had not changed. He asserted in its opening paragraph that he had, fasten your seatbelts, always been a man of peace, and the people who bore the ultimate responsibility for the devastation all around him at the moment was international Jewry and its helpers. Yeah, not me, not little Adolf, bore the guilt for that five-year war with its 60 million dead and its devastation and its horror, its evil. It was just the Jews. It was the international Jewry. For the Jews are an international body of conspirators, they were in his mind, out to conquer, devour mankind, monopolize all the world's money, and turn everybody else into their slaves. And what I hear in this is a deep echo chamber, a kind of perversion of the Jewishness, the idea of Jewishness, into its opposite. Anti-Jewism is to Jewism as antimatter is to matter. There's a bizarre connection between Jewism and Nazism. There is a truth buried and all twisted up inside Hitler's vision of a worldwide Jewish conspiracy, and that is on... that is in plain sight, three times a day, visible, at the end of a Jew's thrice daily prayers, in the concluding Aleinu prayer, which ends with a wish for a world in which idolatry is no more, and the world will come to see the truth, that there is only one God, the God of the Jews, and he is now the God of all mankind, who preaches justice, mercy, charity, kindness. The whole world will unite when the whole world sees the God of all creation. His name will be one, he will be one, in the eyes of man. So yes, Hitler and all deranged Jew haters like him are onto something into their hallucinatory fear of Jews. They fear the power of the Jewish idea conquering the world, and they go to war against it. The Jews preach the concept of the chosen people, not as a warrior people, that's Hitler's fantasy for Germans, but as bearers of the word that Hashem exists, versus Hitler's concept of the master race, his mirror image distortion of the chosen people, a race that rules not by virtue of its moral teaching and exemplary behavior, but just its biology. The master race is the master by virtue of its superior health and genes, not its superior virtuous morality. In a way, obsessional Jew haters like Hitler, like a lot of talkbackers on the Israeli and Jewish websites, are bizarre funhouse imitations of Jews in their distortions. They are as locked onto the Jewish idea as the most pious, frumous Jew. But instead of seeing Jews as innovators in medical science to help the world, the first on the scene during natural disasters, they see us as evildoers. One demented city council member in Chicago, when the AIDS epidemic exploded, said that the reason for the AIDS in black babies is that in the hospital there were Jewish nurses who shortly after birth would inject them with the AIDS virus. And I propose there's a little bit of this craziness in every anti-Semite, every anti-Israelite, who sees in us now in Israel as rapacious imperialist conquerors and thieves of Palestine from its rightful owners. We are racists who continue to oppress and humiliate the ancient ones every day, when in truth we are arguably the most racially mixed nation on earth. And never mind that it says in the Quran that Muslims must oppress and humiliate the Jews every day. Here Muslim preachers say it's the Jews who are oppressing and humiliating. With some are also saying the Quran justifies stabbing us at random. Islam in general is a funhouse distortion of Jewishness. Nine, na 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 na
Pirsas echoli, dogul mahechachlini, dogul mahechachlini, Hashem, eye oizer, eye oizer, hen, 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 ata. תקוותי ולישועתך קיוויתי השם עוז ישועתי עוז ישועתי זכון כחפיים חול תוסך נפיים Hashem, erech apayim, erech apayim. Tuchat achish le'amecha, yehi aleinu kinumecha. Hashem, aseh, aseh, aseh leman shem. להרבץ בו צונך להרבץ בו צונך השם באור פניך באור פניך מפחד מפחד אוי מפחד להצילי קודש גורלי השם שמע וקול ישמע וקולי צעוד וסמוך לנמהרים עזור נא את הנשארים עזור נא את הנשארים השם יוצרים יוצרים פדי עמך מאזים צונך מיד גוזזים השם עושה חזיזים עושה חזיזים קרב נחמה רחם אומנו רוחמה רחם אומנו רוחמה השם איש מלחמה איש מלחמה שכון 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 כמייר ועולנו
Well, if I'm not mistaken, today, besides being a lovely sunny day after days of darkness and rain, it may have been a day in which not one drop of Jewish blood was spilled by a bloodthirsty Arab. I think there was one attempt at a stabbing in Bethlehem, but otherwise, a day of free of would-be murder attempts by our cruel, uncivilized Ishmaelitic neighbors. And for this, we must be thankful. Thank you, Hashem, for this beautiful, mostly nonviolent day. Okay, that's it for this week. Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.